Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer on WMYC and WMYC.org. Now let's get the story of the Elizabeth Avenue Eagles. That's a Little League baseball team in inner city Newark whose story is chronicled by Jonathan Shuby. Shuby is a former Star Ledger reporter who has covered poverty and violence in Newark for years. The Eagles and their coach, Rodney Mason, are the subject of his new book. It's called A Chance to Win, Boyhood, Baseball, and the Struggle for Redemption in the Inner City. Jonathan Shuby, welcome to WMYC, and thank you for telling this really powerful and important story.
It's really nice to be here. Thank you.
So first, let's talk about Rodney Mason. He's the coach and the founder of the Elizabeth Avenue Eagles. How did you first meet Rodney? And I guess we should let everyone know that he's known by everyone as Coach Rock.
Indeed, that was his street nickname going back many years. My relationship with Rodney actually predates what became the book. When I first began covering crime in Newark, I was a beat writer for the Star Ledger. I worked on a story fairly early on in the process about shooting victims, and I wanted to explore what happened to people beyond simply the people who died of shootings, but the people who survived, both with injuries and also the families, the children, the witnesses, how gun violence impacts a community at large. And that is how I originally was introduced to Rodney, through a mutual acquaintance. And that's where our relationship began, and then his story began to unfold.
And Rodney was a promising baseball player, wasn't he? He was shot and paralyzed. Tell that story, a little bit about that.
Indeed. He was a very good baseball player in Little League and up through his early years in high school. When he was a sophomore, from what I can tell, he was a pitcher who was clocked pitching in the low 90s, which is pretty impressive given that age, and in other situations, given the right circumstances, could have potentially been a pro prospect. But instead, around the time of his sophomore year in high school, he decided to basically deal drugs full time. This was in the mid-80s when a lot of young kids were doing such things, and he didn't feel like he had a lot of other options, and the lure was too great. So he basically gave up that dream of playing baseball early on in high school and became a drug dealer for many years.
And he gets into a dispute over a girl. The injury isn't related, at least not directly, to the drug dealer, right?
Correct. Not directly related. The way that I like to describe it is he led a lifestyle for many years that you could argue put him in a position where he ended up getting shot. But in the end, the direct result of his getting shot was a love triangle where he and another man were involved with the same woman, and he was very jealous and threatened Rodney over the course of several months, and then ultimately it culminated in a evening-long back and forth that ended with him getting shot.
And you use this phrase, I think, that might help listeners understand Rodney and many of the characters that you write about, emotional desolation. What is that?
That is a phrase that can be used to describe Rodney's situation after he came home from the hospital, after he learned how to go about life permanently in a wheelchair, unable to use his legs or anything from the belly down, including his bowels. And it's a sense of what purpose does my life have? You could argue that he was not the most positive influence on his community before he got shot. And now there's even a more fundamental question in his mind about what point is my life going to have? And he sat in this, literally sat outside his building pondering this and unable to decide where his life was going to go for many years.
So how do we get to the Eagles? Why does he found this Little League team?
It was a gradual process in which Rodney emerged from this emotional desolation, although it was a very incremental process, as with many people who are in situations like him. And around 2007, he noticed construction across the street from his apartment building on Elizabeth Avenue in the South Ward of Newark, where a Little League field was being built. And that was really the inspiration. The physical inspiration he received was from watching that field come to be. And then he realized that that was really the one good thing he had to offer, the one thing that he knew how to do well. It reminded him a lot about the good things from his life and a sense of innocence as well. And that was really the spark that prompted him to do it.
And in the book, you bring to life a certain diversity and nuance within this group, everyone tied to this team, even though outsiders might just see a bunch of kids from the inner city. And this is something you can do in a book that's difficult to do in daily reportage. You are able to develop this rich group of characters, even though, you know, it's very dynamic when you read the book, but any outsider might just see, you know, a group of kids who all look kind of the same. So was it important for you to do that? Was that one of your goals in writing the book? You'd seen these people, you'd come to know them. And was this a principal motivation for you in writing a book of this sort? And why a Little League team? Why focus on this? I mean, I know Rodney's a friend of yours, but why that device?
It developed very naturally in my mind. It was the result of my work, as I said, being a beat reporter. It came about, the story came about as my work being a beat reporter, even though it wasn't a crime story at first. Ultimately, that it ended up being more of a, I guess you could call it like a news feature story about this team. But what I really wanted to do, if I was going to write a book about Newark, and I call it a book about Newark because I think it's a story of the city through these individual people, what I wanted to do was tell a story that wasn't the typical, superficial, unnuanced way of telling a story about Newark. Newark has for a long time, I'm sure I don't have to tell you, has been the butt of late night comedian jokes and has just been generally regarded, fairly or not, as one of the worst cities in America. And I wanted to tell a story that talked about the real people who live there. And it's not just about crime and mayhem. It's about real people struggling to make their lives better, make lives better for their children, and overcoming a lot of obstacles and being resilient and seeing hope in places where maybe there isn't a lot of it.
So it sounds as though you felt that the fact that Rodney comes from Newark really mattered, that this had to be about people from Newark, and that the solutions for places like Newark are going to come from within Newark and not so much from outside of Newark.
Yes. Part of what I'd like readers to come away with is a sense that although it's important to have philanthropists and very highly respected mayors drawing attention to a city, in the end, it's equally important to have at the grassroots level people like Rodney, people, volunteer coaches and volunteer community organizers doing the work from the ground up.
Because you know exactly where I'm going. I mean, obviously, Cory Booker is so well-regarded, so respected, and Newark has gotten so much attention because of Mayor Booker being profiled in the media as much as he has. And then we have Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook giving money to the school system. Is there a tacit argument in your book against the Facebook money, for example, because it comes from outside the community? A demand that perhaps we look to the community for its growth and development? Or are you not speaking to that at all?
There is not a tacit argument in that regard. As a matter of fact, I believe that any attention, any good attention, any money that goes toward the purpose of improving education is on a general level a good thing. What I would like people to realize, and I write the book and I've done my reporting with the goal of just opening people's eyes to what's going on and trying to see things that other people would otherwise not see, is that there are people doing this work in the shadows, so to speak, who don't get a lot of attention and whose work is arguably just as important as the big names who provide support from the top down.
And that's Coach Rock.
Indeed.
A lot of people who may not have yet read the book, but who are listening, probably did see your op-ed in the New York Times a few weeks ago about the violence that's so ingrained in the lives of the people that you've gotten to know in Newark. And I have to say, one of the things that struck me, and I don't generally find myself surprised about crime statistics because I was a criminal reporter for many years and a criminal lawyer before that, but I found myself sort of taken aback by your statistic that more than 80% of all shooting victims live. We don't think about that. We think about the homicide rate being down. We think about the number of people killed. But of course, you're right. 80% of all shooting victims live. In other words, people continue to live with the effects of the violence well after the incident itself. What does that do to someone, especially a child?
There are two on the surface reactions that I've seen from among children. One is that they get very clearly anxious and scared, and it affects their ability to interact with the world. It affects whether they even want to go outside to play. On the other hand, you also see a lot of children who, as I mentioned in the piece, who act like it doesn't bother them at all. And from me as an outsider, it almost seems to me that they are putting up a shell or something to guard against those fears, both real and imagined. And neither of them are good. And what I was trying to get across in the piece is that, just like what has driven me to even write this book, the idea that people need to realize this, and people who do realize it need to keep remembering it, especially given all those sort of larger policy arguments that are going on about gun control. In the end, there are people who are living this every day of their lives.
I'm Jimmy Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer on WMYC and WMYC.org. I'm speaking with Jonathan Shoupy about his new book. It's called A Chance to Win, Boyhood, Baseball, and the Struggle for Redemption in the Inner City. And you can read an excerpt of the book, all about Newark, on our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Let's talk about the book as a deeper dive from your op-ed piece, because in the op-ed piece, of course, you talk about Tyquan Scott and his children playing in the front yard.
Yes.
And then in the book, in addition to Coach Rock and two children you feature, Derek and Dewan, you focus on Tyquan Scott as a parent. And it's clear that the team is very important to him as a parent. How did Tyquan get involved, and what do the Eagles mean to him as a parent in Newark?
I wish Tyquan was here to speak about it in his own words, because he's a very eloquent speaker in this regard. We have talked a lot about how important Rodney and the Eagles were to his kids. He is one of these parents who is struggling against incredible odds to make his children's lives better. He's got five of them with a sixth on the way. And one of the main tactics he uses is to get them involved with sports. So he saw Little League, even though none of his kids had ever played Little League before, as just a way to keep them busy. And he also believed that he was also a fan of baseball, and he felt like he had always wanted to play but never had a chance because no one ever encouraged him when he was a kid. So he wanted to fulfill that void in his life as well. But he saw, as I say in the book, as baseball as a bulwark against the streets. It was something that if they're busy, if they're on the field, there's less of a chance that something bad is going to happen to them.
Is there something special about baseball per se, or do you think it could be any sport? Are there lessons from baseball? There's so many movies about baseball I could reference. I'm not going to say anything about If You Build It, They Will Come. could it be any sport? Is it athletic activity? Is it team spirit? The book seems to suggest that there's something very special about this sport in this place at this time. But I wonder if it could have been a basketball court or a lacrosse field or any other sport that could have brought these kids some hope.
Part of it is my attraction to underdogs. And baseball, you could say, is an underdog sport in a place like the South Ward of Newark. In a lot of inner cities around the country, baseball is no longer taken very seriously. And that is one of the reasons why you see at the major league level that there aren't many African-Americans on rosters. And there was an underdog spirit to this team that drew me as a reporter. And I also happen to be a very big baseball fan myself, and I played Little League. I played baseball through high school. And so there was a connection that I made as a reporter that I wanted to see the story through on many different levels. Number one was the obvious points about teamwork and working for a common good and learning responsibility and how to lose and how to win that you can do with other, in many other sports. But with baseball, there was something even richer, and that was the creation of this field, Rodney seeing baseball as a way to recoup his life in a way, and people like Taekwon seeing baseball as an opportunity to keep their kids safe.
And I guess in baseball, there's a lot of downtime. You know, you sit in the dugout, you're standing around out in the field. There's something about baseball that slows the pace of life. You get to know each other. There's sort of an emotional, intimate quality to baseball that you don't get in the faster-paced sports.
Indeed. I mean, it goes down to simple things like the kids learning the cheers, the chants that we all made when we were kids playing Little League. And there's a communal spirit to that sense of cheering each other on that happens in baseball. It doesn't necessarily happen in other sports as much. And there's also a community. The community came out and rooted them on. They lined the fences and they rooted on the team that was right across the street in this park. There was a physical proximity. There was a closeness that everyone felt because of this team. It was pretty amazing to watch.
The last thing I want to ask you about is something you wrote in the Times op-ed. And that was the level of attention that's paid to violence in places like Newark, or I guess not paid to violence in places like Newark, especially when compared to the attention that we give to things like Sandy Hook or the shooting in the theater in Aurora, Colorado. As a reporter, what's your takeaway, especially now that you've spent so much time writing this book about something really positive in Newark? Is it the national media's fault, the way we think about places relative to one another? Is it harder as a beat reporter to tell one kind of story versus the other? Do we stereotype locations and people who live in them? Just give us sort of your sense of how we could do it better as journalists and as a country when talking about violence in different places.
I think the point that I made in the op-ed piece goes for journalists as well, and that everyone gets too used to it. I was part of the problem too. Writing about it every day, you start to not see the forest for the trees. You do it so much, it happens so frequently that it almost stops being a story. And what I hope to get across in writing this piece was to remind myself, other reporters, the rest of the country, that we still need to pay attention to this. Yes, we should definitely be outraged by what happens when there's a mass shooting someplace. But we also cannot allow that to overwhelm our attention to the daily violence that goes on in communities across America. It's a matter of all – the danger is that we get used to it and assume it as normal, and it's not normal.
Well, important things to think about and a wonderful book to recommend. Jonathan Shoupy, longtime crime reporter for the Newark Star-Ledger. The book is A Chance to Win, Boyhood Baseball and the Struggle for Redemption in the Inner City. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.